Let's pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our Redeemer, our Savior, our Providence, our Sovereign. Lord God, we do praise you with our lips, with our hearts, with our minds, and with our actions. We exist because and through you. We thank you for your presence here this morning in the person of the Holy Spirit. We ask that the Holy Spirit does anoint us with the words that we're going to hear so that those words are a blessing and a transformational nature. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, boy, we had a journey through the book of Mark and through the book of Acts. If you haven't been with us, that's what we did, and it was wonderful, and I'm so glad we did that. So many good comments on that, and it was a lot of fun. This is for the next 3 weeks. For the summer, we're going to do three standalone messages, and this one goes so well with what we've sung about and talked about so far this morning, and it's stay positive. That's not a Pollyannish kind of, don't worry, be happy kind of thing, because that's, as much as I love Bobby McFerrin, that's just a horrible song, because sometimes you do worry and you can't be happy, so it's okay. But this, let's think about this church, and this church has a rich history of baptisms and confirmations and weddings and even funerals. It's a wonderful building. It's filled with really great people, and it's in a beautiful neighborhood. And that said, we face some uncertainty. Like so many times in the history of this church, we have to just take one step at a time. And sometimes we just feel our way through, trusting that God will provide. Considering all that, I want to share with you the message called Stay Positive. Stay positive in our life as a church, but really also in your personal lives too. I don't know what's going on with you, but God does. You've heard the old expression, glass half full or glass half empty. That if it's sometimes in life we see the glass is half full, we feel more encouraged. On the other hand, if we see the glass is half empty, we're a little grumpy and negative and critical, right? I heard a story that illustrates how hard it is to be around glass half empty people. Yeah, you can just sense a joke coming down the train track here. Yeah, way to set that up. I heard a story. Here it is. So a man was sharing that his mother-in-law, this is going to be bad, was a person who was always negative. She was a master at glass half empty. She criticized him. She criticized her daughter constantly, 24/7 about everything. Even though he and his wife had put it up with it for years, they were at a breaking point. They decided that a change in scenery might help this unhappy woman. So they took her on a trip to the Holy Land. But surprisingly, while they were there, his mother-in-law passed away quietly one night. The Israeli undertaker told the man that he could ship the body home for $5,000, or they could bury her in the Holy Land for $150. The man thought about it for a while and decided to ship her home. The undertaker asked, "Why would you spend $5,000 to ship your mother-in-law home when it could be in such an honor to be buried here in the land of her faith?" The man thought about it for a while and then replied, "Another man died here 2,000 years ago, was buried, and he rose from the dead 3 days later. I don't want to take that chance." So cynicism and negativity may be the easy choice, but they're not the best choice. A negative outlook never leads to a positive life. Here's the big idea today. Stay positive. I realize this is my initials, SP. Anyway, that's not interesting. I've evaluated myself in the last week. I say things that are not necessary a lot. Like the people in the store. I'm that guy in the Progressive ad that says, weight limit on the elevator, 2,000 miles. Oh, glad to skip lunch. That kind of thing. I do that way too often. Ilsa will attest. So here's the big idea. If you seek what's good, you'll see what's good. See? So how do you stay positive in the world we live in today? Maybe you've had a tough year. Maybe you constantly think about the condition of our world. Staying positive isn't just about drumming up some feel-good emotions. It's part of our faith as followers of Jesus Christ. Let me take you back in time to 1,200 years before Jesus. Joshua succeeded Moses and led Israel for a period of around 28 years. Joshua led the fight to take back the land that had been promised to Abraham 1,000 years before. That's a long wait, right? People called Canaanites were living in the land with strong cities. The book of Joshua is a story of hard-fought battles that lasted 7 years before there was a time of peace. Even though the book of Joshua is a story of historical events, in many ways, you really can see it as a metaphor for our spiritual lives. In the human heart and life, there's always battles against sin, temptation, and evil. I think all of us face walled cities or giant obstacles from time to time. With God's help, the Israelites endure and overcome. Finally, they come to the season of peace and growth that Joshua does not want them to take for granted. He's been leading for 28 years, but now the time has come. The final words of Joshua are recorded just before his death. He knows that the people are still face enormous challenges, just as we have and just as we will. And he shares with them some final counsel that is relevant today. This is how the chapter begins. The years passed, and the Lord had given the people of Israel rest from all their enemies. Joshua, who was now very old, called together all the elders, leaders, judges, and officers of Israel. So Joshua then shares with his people the secrets of staying positive and holding on to your faith, especially in tough times. First, he says, I'm now a very old man. You've seen everything the Lord your God has done for you during my lifetime. The Lord your God has fought for you against your enemies. In other words, look back with gratitude. Remember to be grateful. When I think back of all my years of ministry with all the ups and downs, and I still have a profound feeling of gratefulness. Many great people sacrificed so much for me along the way to allow me to stand here now. When's the last time you took time to reflect on your life this past year? No buts, no except for. It's so easy to focus on the negative. It's easy to be cynical, but have you expressed gratefulness lately? And the same goes for this church body and this building. Be grateful for what it's provided. Be grateful for the past and be hopeful for the future, right? So Joshua is reminding his people that they stood on the shoulders of Moses and Aaron and all their family that sacrificed so much to get Egypt out of Egypt and get them to this point in time. The 7 years of war had been successful. It's easy to get caught up in being critical and negative due to the current circumstances of our lives, but take time. Take time to be grateful. Some of you might be thinking, wow, I can't think of much to appreciate. It was really a tough year. Maybe you lost a promotion or lost something you value very much, or you went through a hard breakup or lost a loved one, or you hit some financial difficulties and it's going to take time to climb out. And maybe a relative has gotten so caught up in a political point of view you can no longer have a relationship. That's painful. That hasn't happened so specifically as it has in the last 10 years. Or one of your kids is really struggling with something. Keep in mind that Joshua is saying this against the backdrop of three military campaigns that stretched over 7 years. I can imagine they had some issues we have today in the aftermath of war. Families had lost loved ones, right? Soldiers were left with missing limbs and permanent wounds. Land disputes started to occur among the tribes. There was probably a lot to complain about. Yet in spite of all the nation had been through, he reminds them that God has been in it, not absent. So our minds get so stuck on the circumstances that we're going to go through that I wonder if we can even imagine the battles God is fighting for us that we did not even know about in the spiritual realm. I wonder how many times God has protected our church. I wonder how many times God has protected my family from harm or evil. God is fighting for us right now against our enemies. Look back with gratitude for all that went before you. God is setting you up for even greater things in the future. Then Joshua continues, "This land will be yours, for the Lord your God will himself drive out all the people living there now. You will take possession of their land, just as the Lord your God promised you." So in other words, look back with gratitude, but look ahead with hope. We look back and give thanks, but looking ahead, we are always hope-filled. God's people are always people of hope. Notice the language, God Himself will drive out your enemies. Some of us need to be hopeful about what God can do in our own lives. A hopeful person sees the same glass, right? But trusts God with the outcome. When your glass is full of hope, there's no room for cynicism. There's no room for negativity. Your spirit is filled. Does that mean you aren't going to go through, have angry or negative thoughts? No. You just don't let them take up residence inside you for too long. But the hopeful person says, I can't wait to see what God is going to do with this year in my life, in my family, or at faith, because God is for us. There's an abundance of God's grace coming my way. Right? The hopeful church refuses to let the culture or the culture wars distract them from the mission that every person be introduced to the hope of the world. Jesus. I'm weary, and I don't ever want to be, I would prefer never to have us be pigeonholed as a blue or a red church. The thing I like about being here is that we focus mostly on people loving each other, listening to each other, and focusing on Jesus. I guess maybe you can say that's a purple church, but I'd rather say it's a hopeful church. Hope. By the way, who commandeered those colors? Seriously, I didn't get a vote in that one. Anyway, hope is closely related to faith. This is a reminder of in Hebrews 11:1 tells us that. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. Think about that. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. There's so much wisdom packed in however many words that is. I'm not going to count them, but there's so much meat in there, isn't there? Faith is confidence in God for what we can't see. In 2010, Ilse and I went on a short-term mission trip for helping the UMC over in Burzai, Lithuania. Lithuania is one of the Baltic nations. It was in the news recently, right? The NATO summit was in Vilnius. We visited that city. Ilse went in one of the cathedrals, and we couldn't find her, and she's up in one of the raised pulpits doing this. So that's an amusing sight. It'll never leave. Yeah, she wants me to not bring that up. It was hilarious. But it's beautiful. It's a beautiful country, beautiful people. The climate reminds me of Michigan. It's on the Baltic Sea. NATO summit was there in Vilnius. In the 5-minute drive from Vilnius, which is a thriving metropolis, and it's only 5 minutes east of that, there's a place called the Hill of Crosses, and it's out in the middle of nowhere. Even though it's 5 minutes from a major city. And I think I brought this up before, but I just want to expound on it a little bit more. In just a few small acres, there are literally thousands, and if not millions, of crosses of all different sizes. This place is a sacred place for the Lithuanians. It's holy. Both the Nazis and later the Soviets realized this place was a source of hope for the people. When you visit, you're encouraged to take and place a cross of memorial of your own. And there's Ilse walking up the hill to do just that. Our son Clayton had passed away 2 years prior to that, and we couldn't leave there without placing a cross, a crude birch cross, with his initials on it. It was our little glimpse of hope among a sea of other crosses. Both enemies, the Soviets and the Nazis, ordered it torn down and dispersed, hoping to crush all hope for the people. But overnight, people came from out of their homes, from all around the area, and reassembled that hill. This happened over and over again because the Nazis and the Soviets thought they could destroy the hope of the Lithuanian people, and they didn't realize that their hope was placed at the foot of the cross, literally and figuratively. So, at the time of Joshua's death, the land of Canaan was not yet all conquered. There were still battles to fight. a lot had been accomplished, but it wasn't over. I'm guessing that some of the problems you're facing are also battles that you still need to be fought. Be hopeful. God is with you and for you. Don't give in to negativity. But Joshua wasn't finished yet. He goes on to say, be strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the law without turning it to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of the gods or swear by them. Hold fast to the Lord, your God, as you have until now. In other words, look back, look forward, and look inside. Look inside honestly. Look inside with honesty. Joshua knew that the people were people, right? We sometimes allow debris and junk to build up in our lives. We got a difficult time being honest with ourselves. We don't like to make honest assessments. They scare us. We allow ungodly attitudes or secret sins to creep in and live inside us. But Joshua says it's important to look inside. It's time to say goodbye to harmful habits, to sins, behaviors, or attitudes that just drag us down spiritually. Joshua said if Israel was going to maintain their strength for battle, they had to separate from ungodly alliances and idol worship. Separate themselves from. If you're involved in some consistently wrong conversations, some inappropriate relationships, or some fascination with a questionable topic, it's going to drain your spiritual vitality. Joshua knew this all too well. In the seventh chapter of Joshua, his army had suffered a humiliating defeat, and they'd lost their power because some of his men had stolen items and lied about it. There was no more victory until that wrong was confessed. So my question, is there something keeping you from Jesus or from being strong in your faith? Is there something that keeps weighing you down? Can you let God, this is not finger pointing or finger wagging. This is time for honest assessment. This is not for me telling you what's right and wrong. This is for you, your honest introspection. Is something weighing me down? Do you have the courage to let God investigate your heart and then cleanse it and then move on in faith? I think you do. The last thing Joshua says is to be very careful to love the Lord your God. That's probably a good way to end that, huh? In other words, look back, look forward, look inward, and then look up to Jesus. Joshua didn't know Jesus. Joshua, who hadn't lived yet. In fact, Jesus is a variation of the name Joshua. But his name is from the same root word. If you want to stay positive, you'd never take your eyes off of that, Jesus. Whenever I've run an office or managed a business, I've had expectations of my employees, and we'd go over those in their evaluations. I think it's a good list, but in the end, the last thing on the list was to work hard at what you do. I mean, I know that sounds like Captain Obvious, but give it everything you got when you're on. But only keep an eye on your job here, and then I wouldn't go into just an employee evaluations, but that was the entreaty of an employee. But my entreaty to you is also do the hardest you can do in the work that you do, but keep an eye on that job, but also keep an eye on eternity. That goes for any of you. If you're in school, your job, your retirement, it doesn't matter. Only keep one eye on what's going on here on earth. And keep one eye on eternity. As you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, above all else, your life is going to be a witness to the people around you. Your spirit will overflow, and it's going to impact the world around you with gratitude, with hope, and generosity. This is true for your personal life, and it's true in the life of this church. God has been searching for a people who will truly represent them, represent Him with their lives. If you'll stay positive, continue to be full both of gratitude and hope, optimism and love, people will be drawn here, not just from this community, but from all over the world. Never quit. Never get stale. Never settle for status quo. So many times we have focused on the problem instead of the provider. Satan constantly points our minds to the negative rather than to what God has promised. I saw a story of some adventurers that tried to be the first to fly a hot air balloon around the world. They left from St. Louis and rose to 24,000 feet. They sailed across the U.S. toward Africa without a problem until they realized they were heading into the airspace of Libya. And this was during when Gaddafi was still in power and not really open to balloons or anything flying over his airspace. They were sure that Libya would launch missiles if they were discovered. There's no way to steer a balloon. You're pretty much at the mercy of the winds. There are crosswinds that blow at various heights, so the quick-thinking adventurers let the air out of the balloons just in time, dropped to 6,000 feet, and they found a southeast wind that took them safely away from the waiting missiles. The balloonists were at the mercy of the wind and could only go in the direction that the wind was blowing. But we are not. We are not at the mercy of our circumstances. In his last breath, Joshua says this, "Soon I will die, going the way of everything on earth. Deep in your hearts, you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed. Our hope is in the Lord God and his Son, Jesus Christ, whose promises have never failed." What do you need to do first today? Do you need to take some time to be thankful of what, or for what you do have and who you are in Jesus Christ? Do you need to reroute your outlook to one of hope and faith for the days coming? Is there anything you need to surrender that's been holding you back from experiencing God's best? And lastly, are you keeping one eye on eternity? And are you preparing now to be with him forever? Let's pray. Father, we do ask for the constant reminder that we do look back at what's happened in this church and in our lives with gratitude. And that we do look forward with hope. And we do look inward to the things that may be holding us back. And lastly, we do look up to the face of your Son, Jesus, who because of him, we can live with you in eternity. Help us focus on our lives here with one eye and the other eye to be forever with you in glory. In Jesus' name, amen.